Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, in for John Hockenberry today. Thank you so much for listening. World leaders are gathering in New York today for the latest round of peace talks on Syria. And following Secretary John Kerry's meetings in Moscow this week, there is a renewed focus on presenting a coalition to crack down on Islamic State's financing options. The meeting before the UN Security Council today follows a summit of finance ministers chaired by Treasury Secretary Jack Lew yesterday.
A critical part of the U.S. whole-of-government strategy is the use of counter-terror financing tools and authorities to stop ISIL's operations by isolating it financially and economically. As many of you know, ISIL is a challenging financial target.
That's Jack Lew speaking to the UN Security Council finance ministers on Thursday. Since the 9/11 attacks, the Treasury Department has taken on the role of dealing with counterterrorism intelligence financing strategy. But the multi-million dollar operation of the self-proclaimed Islamic State presents unprecedented challenges in dealing with the wealth of terror organizations. Joining me now is Jimmy Garule. He was Undersecretary for Enforcement at the U.S. Department of the Treasury from 2001 till 2003. He's currently a professor of law at Notre Dame. Jimmy Garule, welcome.
Thank you.
What is particularly difficult or troublesome about how ISIS finances itself versus, let's say, another organization we've heard about like Al-Qaeda?
Well, Al-Qaeda was principally funded by external donations. And so it was easier to track money that was coming in to Al-Qaeda. In contrast, ISIS is largely self-funded. And the monies are generated largely within the territories controlled by ISIS. And that makes it a much more challenging effort for the international community to go after the funding of this terrorist organization.
So what does that mean in the real world if you're a financial forensics expert? You have to find the banks in Syria or in Iraq where smuggled oil money filters through. How do you shut them down?
Well, that's the challenge. Not only do you have to focus on the banks that are moving the money for ISIS, but you also have to focus on the foreign businesses that are providing services to ISIS, for example, to develop and enhance their energy sector, more specifically the sale of oil. ISIS generates as much as $1 million to $1.5 million per day selling oil on the black market. So the Treasury Department is trying to determine who are the companies that are providing technology, services, parts to ISIS to assist them in facilitating the development of the oil industry. And who are the companies that are transporting the oil? Who are the companies that are purchasing the oil from ISIS?
So a lot of the revenue from ISIS's clandestine oil sales apparently goes right into Syria, and they appear to be dealing, as far as I know, with Bashar al-Assad himself. So what's the incentive structure here? How do we convince Assad not to buy that oil? Or is this a question of going and trying to cut off Syria from the world financial system so that the money's no good?
I think from the Treasury Department's perspective, it's the latter. If, in fact, ISIS is generating over $1 million a day from the sale of oil, that money has to enter into the financial services system at some point. The payment for the sale of oil can't be done in cardboard boxes. That amount of money has to be entering into the financial system. And so it's incumbent upon the Treasury Department to identify the shell companies and the shell corporations that are being used to conceal the movement of those funds.
Is this like water, though, that pours through cracks from somebody in your position? You can identify companies that are doing business. You can shame those companies or have sanctions to cut them off. But if there's an incentive there and there's oil and $1 million a day available, does somebody find a way to get at it despite U.S. policy?
There's no question that this is difficult work, and the terrorists are always looking for the point of least resistance. And so as soon as the Treasury Department or the international community shuts off or makes it more difficult to move money through the financial system, then they're going to look for less traditional, more informal means of moving money. And the Treasury Department then needs to be flexible and nimble to move to try to cut off those methods and means of moving money.
What does less formal mean? Does that mean duffel bags full of cash in exchange for a truck of oil? Does it literally mean that?
It can mean money transmitting businesses, money service businesses, for example. So that could be one means. ISIS may have to resort to smaller transactions and moving smaller sums of money through money services businesses like Western Union.
How sophisticated is the ISIS operation financially? They know that the world is onto them in terms of their oil sales, largely inside of Syria. There's this big UN meeting now. How adept have they proven to be to sort of go to ground financially and keep the money flowing?
Well, I think one thing is clear. I think throughout, the international community, including the United States, has underestimated ISIS. And so I think the worst thing and the last thing that the Treasury Department should do is underestimate ISIS's ability and sophistication and understanding of the international financial services system and ability to move money globally.
Jimmy Garuli, is the Senate underestimating that sophistication too? There's a nominee, a Treasury nominee named Adam Shustman, who has been nominated to be in charge of this type of anti-terror financing enforcement, and his nomination has been sitting in the Senate for many, many months.
Well, it certainly doesn't help when you have the chief federal law enforcement official responsible for the U.S. government's terrorist financing strategy being held up, being restricted in terms of his ability to take charge of this effort. That is certainly undermining the U.S.'s counterterrorist financing effort.
Jimmy Garuli is former Undersecretary for Enforcement at the U.S. Department of the Treasury. He was in that role from 2001 until 2003. Today he talks to us from Notre Dame, where he's a professor of law. Jimmy Garuli, thank you.
Thank you.